There was a scheme, or a showpiece scheme, it's been described as, and it was aimed at easing the congestion at York Street where the M1, the M2 and the M3 meet. All this has been put on hold. And part of the reason, apparently, is because of Brexit. That's what the Infrastructure Minister, Chris Hazard, has been saying. So will we ever actually get the green light for this new York Street interchange? Let me speak to a man who knows about the roads and about business, Jimmy DeLargy. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
You see, Jimmy, I know you're not a great Brexit man. You've been on this programme, you've said yourself you can't see the pluses of Brexit, but surely it's very easy for a Sinn Féin minister to say that this is the fault of Brexit, because Sinn Féin were completely anti-leaving the European Union.
Well, this scheme would have got some money, one presumes, from the EU, from Brussels. Therefore, without that money, it becomes more difficult to sustain. So I don't think that Chris Hazard is exaggerating the problems facing him, but he's not saying that it's cancelled, it's on hold until things clarify itself. As far as I can see, you know, the UK being a net contributor to Brussels will then, after Brexit, actually have some money to spare. So it's quite likely that there will be money for these huge capital schemes, I'm just saying that there is a net benefit immediately. I think it's something of around, we make a net contribution of $7 billion a year across the UK to Europe, and that money then will be available to be spent. There may be more cash than is apparent at the moment. That's not to say that it won't damage the economy overall leaving the EU, but I'm just saying that there may be more optimism about this scheme going ahead than people actually experience at the moment. I think the reality is that it probably will happen further on down the line, because we will get the money. Not from Europe, but from London.
But the British government are going to have to be convinced that the M3, M2, M1 interchange there, intersection, is something worth spending money on.
And that is a good question, because we, seeing it from the perspective of going through that interchange on a regular basis, can appreciate in a way that people in London can't, just what it means. And obviously it's handier not to be stopped at the junction, and it's people will feel a lot better when it happens. But I'm not convinced it's going to make any great contribution to the local economy when this development actually happens. We've a passion for building roads. I can't get my head around it. The A8, all that money gone on the A8 to Larne, have you been on it? You're in splendid isolation driving along that road. The A5 is another road that makes no sense to put all this money in. If people want to build roads, fine, because it helps drivers get from A to B more quickly. But it's not going to be, it's not going to be the saviour for the economy. This is just fantasy.
Yeah, it may not be the saviour for the economy, but anyone who would be driving regularly between Belfast and Larne, I'm sure, are applauding whichever minister signed off that deal, because it has so improved the road. And likewise, when they do the A5 and the A6, and there's the whole Belfast rapid transit system, these are all seen as priorities by the infrastructure, the current infrastructure minister, as opposed to the intersection at York Street.
Well, let's just take the A8. I think the estimation is that you get from Belfast to Larne and vice versa 3 to 5 minutes quicker. Now, that's huge, isn't it? I mean, that's really worth spending all that money.
But the road used to be a nightmare. The road, I wasn't on it very often, but I wouldn't.
Well, that's the point.
But
I
never would have gone to Larne on it, because it was so twisty and irritating. But for the lorry men who are going to the docks, it must be a big plus.
Well, you see, that's the whole point, Frank. That you weren't on that road to Larne, and that's the thing. Nobody's now going on the road to Larne because it's now easier to travel along. This is just fantasy. We've been focused on road building for decades in Northern Ireland, and we don't spend as much money as we should on public transport, and we think that road building is going to deliver a better economy. Of course, it hasn't, and it won't. Because if you build, people imagine that if you build, let's say, a major road out of a city, that that really then spreads the economic development out of the city into the regions. The analysis shows that it doesn't. What it means is that people can get more easily from the country into the city, so the development, more and more development takes place within the city. That happened in Dublin. That's the experience of that. It hasn't spread. Those fine roads that we enjoy when we travel in the Republic don't actually bring more economic development out of Dublin to the regions. It just helps people in the regions get into those jobs which are being created in Dublin.
Yeah, but you're looking at it from an economic perspective. I'm looking at it from a consumer perspective, whereby it is good for us to have better roads. The Dungiven bypass, for example. Dungiven's a nightmare town. My in-laws live in Main Street in Dungiven. As I often say, every lorry that goes between Derry and Belfast goes past the bottom of my mother-in-law's bed. That's going to change whenever there is a Dungiven bypass. That's wonderful spending of public money.
Well, it's handy. That's why I said it's handy for people. But I think we're hearing arguments about how damaging it's going to be to the local economy. We've had the CBI, the road hauliers, how much we need this interchange. No, we don't. Well, you don't. It's handy. I mean, it's going to save you a lot of time as you travel through it, and people do it on a regular basis will think it's a godsend. But that doesn't equate to economic development. I come back to that. I mean, because these things are justified on that basis. If you want,
Jamie DeLargy, do you drive a car on a daily basis?
I do indeed. Not necessarily on a daily basis.
You do not on a daily basis. You are the second driver in your home. You're a walker. If you would get an old bicycle out, I know you've gone totally green from the moment you retired.
That is not at all true. We have two cars in this household, and I was in it yesterday. I'm about to get out now to travel to the dentist. This is a slander and a lie. This is typical of you, Frank. We imagine that you look at London. You can't move in London. You can't get around it. It is the hours of waiting in vehicles is enormous compared to Northern Ireland and Belfast in particular. Which city is actually doing better economically, London or Belfast? I wouldn't mind if somebody said, look, we're just building it because I have got to race up to Dungiven. And I want to get out of the town quickly. I don't want to be hanging about behind a lorry. And I think this is just great. Let's put 165 million, which is what the interchange is going to cost. Let's put it into that. Let's forget about the old hospital, because I need to get it Dungiven a few minutes quicker than I would otherwise be suffering from. When you put it in those arguments, in that context, then it doesn't look so compelling. It's better if you say, oh, it's going to deliver jobs, it's going to boost the economy, GDP is going to rise. It's not. It's not going to make any difference.
Is there any guarantee that the money spent, or the money that may be spent on these roads, if it wasn't spent on those highways and byways, would be spent on the hospitals?
Well, there's no reason why it couldn't be. That capital spending could be spent on capital projects, and a hospital is a capital project. So you could easily do it. You could easily do it. I'm whistling in the wind here because nobody thinks that it isn't a great idea to build roads. But the fact of the matter is, I don't mind them putting that as an argument, as long as they say the benefits really are because they want to get about the countryside more quickly. But if they're thinking it's going to really help economically, well then I think it's just mostly fantasy. But they will continue to be built, and we'll continue to have a very inadequate public transport system. But that's democracy. That's what people want.
Will the public transport system around Belfast not be resolved with this new plan that's three-quarter way advanced?
Well, people have a resistance to getting on a bus. They think it's low class. So people don't get on. I travel on the bus quite regularly.
I know.
I'm very, very, very.
That's why people don't want to get on it.
It's funny, I can empty a bus. No, that's not true. Anyway, look, you get onto the bus. You do not see besuited people on buses. If you've made it in Northern Ireland, and that's not a huge high bar, then you simply will never get on a bus. It's like you wonder if you see a man on a bus, and this is, I would think the same thing. And he looks really well dressed, and he's heading into work. You think, do you know what? He's lost his license because he's been drink driving.
See, well, Jamie, I have an example of that. When I was a young student, I was on, is it nothing to do with drink driving, I hasten to add. Well, I was on my foot, you know, walking towards the university one morning, and I saw a bus going past, and I saw a broadcaster on the bus who I often admired on BBC, and I thought to myself, you know, he mustn't get paid as much as I thought he got paid because he's on the bus. I've no problem saying the man was Seamus McKee. Seamus McKee was using the buses way before anyone was convinced that buses were the way to go, because I'm darn sure he was earning good money, but he had chosen to use public transport. And it's something that 30 years later, I'm still not using.
No. I can't remember the quote, but there's a lady something or other in the 1920s, and she says, anybody who's on a bus after the age of 30 is obviously a failure in life, or something like that there. And that's what we think. You know, we think you've got to have a big shiny car. It might actually take you longer when you factor in the time, you know, getting a parking space or finding a car park and all that's involved. But you know, you simply don't want to be seen in a bus. You know, it's not doing anything for your image. And that's why, you know, the various schemes that we have in hand, because they don't involve... We like the train, you see. Nobody has any problem with getting on a tram or a train. That is, you know, that's middle class. That's success. But a bus is not. And it's ridiculous. It's nonsensical. You see all sorts of people on London buses. But, yeah. But in Northern Ireland, we really don't think it's a place to be seen, and that's why it'll never be a real success unless it involves investment in trams or trains, and it won't.
Yeah, so no matter how decent they make the buses or how smoothly they flow down the likes of the Falls or the Shankill or the Newton Arge Road or the Malone Road, any of the main arterial routes, you feel that we just have a mindset that prevents a lot of us from going on the bus.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm convinced of it, and it won't change. It won't change because it's ingrained in us that. You know, another thing that you do see in London, you will see, I mean, maybe they're making a thing of it, but you will see sort of government, you know, senior politicians cycling into Westminster. Can you imagine any of our politicians cycling into Stormont? They just wouldn't do it. They wouldn't want to be seen in a bike. It's considered low rent. But that's a further stage. But they certainly... As I say, they would have no problem, those same politicians in London, going on a bus, but here, not.
Yeah, I do feel one of our duly elected MLAs does travel by bicycle. I think Gerry Carroll does it on quite a regular basis.
He would.
I think he does. People before profit. So don't spend your money on a car. Jamie, good speaking to you. Thank you.